In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. All throughout my life, when we said the passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by all four Gospels, the story is very familiar, and I've always just focused on the people and the things they did. So we start in Mark's Gospel. We have Jesus, who is in Bethany, which is just across the Mount of Olives. There, he is in the home of Simon the leper, and a woman brings an alabaster jar of costly ointment and anoints his feet with her hair. We have the disciples, among them Judas Iscariot. We all know, even Jesus knows, that he will betray him. You might think of those who came to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, a garden where Jesus has been praying in agony while Peter and James and John, his closest disciples, slept. Think of the soldiers who took him across to the house of the high priest, of all the gathered chief priests and elders and scribes who condemn him, of Pilate, who sentences him to death because he's afraid of what the crowd will do if he lets him go. Think of the soldiers that put the cloak on him, the crown of thorns, the ones who mocked him and spit on him, the crowds who came along the way as his cross was placed upon a bystander, Simon of Cyrene, to carry. The soldiers who laid him on the cross, who hammered the nails into his hands and his feet. The women watching from afar, the only ones who haven't betrayed him or left him. Peter denied Jesus three times and went off and wept. The other disciples had fled, fearing they'll be next. The centurion, who's the first Gentile to understand the gospel that Jesus is the Son of God. Of Joseph of Arimathea, himself an elder, but one who believes in the Messiah and follows Jesus, comes boldly to ask Pilate for Jesus' body that he may bury it. The others have fled because they worry that if they draw attention to themselves, they will be arrested and perhaps crucified themselves. Joseph does not fear, and he lays Jesus in a tomb. And we're told that Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he lay. We think about Jesus himself, what he might have been feeling through all of this, through the last night and day of his life. From the supper, where he knows he has been betrayed, and where he gives them the body and the blood of Christ, where he prays in the Garden of Gethsemane, in some of the Gospels, he cries bloody tears. He is in agony. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Of Jesus, beaten, crucified, dying on the cross, bringing forward the words of Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's all about the people. It's the way human beings are. We tend to focus on people. We're centered around ourselves. When I was in the Holy Land last April, a place where I pray for daily, knowing how many lives are being lost through war and starvation, for hostages, for everything. This Palm Sunday for me does not focus on people or even the actions. It focuses on the Kidron Valley. Now, Mark doesn't name the Kidron Valley, but the geography of Jerusalem is such that you have Bethany, and then across the Jordan, and then up you have the Mount of Olives, and then the Kidron Valley, and then Jerusalem and the Temple Mount. Before I went, I always thought of the Kidron Valley as a place of respite, where you kind of went up or down steep, steep slopes. There would be maybe grass, quiet, a chance to catch your breath. The first day of our pilgrimage, we were taken by bus to the top of the Mount of Olives because it is a daunting climb. And we stood at the top because we were told we needed to understand the scope of the events of Jesus' life, and especially of the last week of his life. First of all, at the top of the Mount of Olives, the wind is unceasing. No matter what, it is harsh, it is loud, and all-consuming. It is a very steep climb down the mount. Later, as we walked the way of the cross, we began at the top of the Mount of Olives, the upper room, and then began to work our way down to Gethsemane. I think of Jesus praying in the garden and always pictured him in a place of quiet, where he was surrounded by olive trees and other plants. Maybe like the picture some of you had in your homes growing up, where Jesus is kneeling at a rock with his hands folded and looking up. Standing in the Garden of Gethsemane, at the church that now is there, you realize that Jesus is not looking at a beautiful setting. He is looking across the Kidron Valley directly to the Temple Mount. And the Kidron Valley, far from being a place of kind of quiet and respite, is more of a ravine. It is steep. Any trees and plants are stunted by the wind that constantly goes through this just break in the whole geography of Jerusalem. I always thought of Jesus coming in a triumphal entry into Jerusalem down the Mount of Olives, this lovely kind of meandering path, but instead it was deep down into the Kidron Valley and back up to the temple. We're told in the last week of his life, he went back and forth across the Kidron Valley, going from Bethany, the Mount of Olives, to Jerusalem and the temple. When Jesus is there, praying in agony, he is looking across at the journey he will make. As many times as he walked up and down and was strong and vigorous, after his prayer, he was arrested. He was likely tied up. He may have been dragged along by somebody riding a horse across that very difficult, rough, dramatic terrain. He looked across as he prayed, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He looked across this rift and directly at the temple, the place where he will be sentenced to go to Pilate to die. During Holy Week, as we walk the way of the cross from Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, leading to the resurrection, it's easy for us. We walk in and out of a building that is completely accessible. We sit and pray, and if you feel comfortable standing or kneeling, we do. And often at this service, I will ask you to walk the way of the cross with us this week, to make Easter what it truly is, a miracle after suffering and death. There's no way I can take you on the Via Dolorosa. There's no way I can have you experience what the wind does to you as you walk, of how Jesus' journey to his sentencing, condemnation, and crucifixion is looking at this geography that long for him has just been a way to get from one place to another. But now will be the journey he makes, one that is not easy. This Holy Week, I hope you will join us as we walk the way of the cross. You won't have to climb up mount or down into deep valley. Instead, we come and make our sacrifice with our prayers, with our presence, and as Peter does when he has betrayed Jesus and denied him, to weep and to understand that we don't exist as Christians because of the resurrection. Because without this Holy Week, there would be no miracle. Amen.
Amen.